Just so if you're visiting this morning, it's really lovely to see you this morning. Just so you let you know, we will finish by 12 o'clock. And at the end, we'll just have a chance to pray for one another, to see more of God's goodness. And just for a few minutes, we're going to look at the Bible. We're going to understand what God is speaking to us. So if you've got your Bible with you, could you please turn to Exodus chapter 3. Or find it on your phone or find it wherever it is. And we're just going to read a few verses from Exodus chapter 3. While we're finding that, we are dealing with this issue of paradoxes in the Bible. And I'm sure many of us will know that a paradox is this seemingly contradictory statement. So the Bible says one thing about God and also says another thing, and these two things seem to contradict each other, and yet there is something of God's truth in it. And there are sometimes when it's only really when we grapple with these paradoxes, these different things that are being said about God, that we really understand the fullness and the depth of God. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. I hope you've got Exodus chapter 3 while we're doing that. I really hope you'll be able to come with us to Catalyst. Dawla gave a very great sort of presentation about it. Yeah, it was really good. But it is one of the most encouraging things. We suddenly feel that we're part of something bigger, not just our own little church here. Okay, so we're ready, Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read this story of Moses and the burning bush. Verse 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "Well, I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not being burned." And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Well, here I am." And then he said, "Don't come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then what God then said, he then goes on and says to Moses, "Look, I want all the children of Israel that were held in captivity in Egypt, I want you to release those people." And he gave Moses this plan of what he was going to do. Can anybody tell me what is the paradox in this? What is the seemingly contradictory things that is in this statement, these verses that we read about the character of God? It's a genuine question. Anybody? Well, I'll just wait then. I'm going to wait. What are some of the things that, go on, Steve, tell me. Yeah, is that because you've got the PowerPoint that you can see? No. He's so clever, Steve. He can even do websites as we're talking. So this is this paradox that we're dealing with, that God calls to Moses and says, "Look, Moses, he's just walking, he's just doing, minding his own stuff. He's looking after the sheep. He's sort of like caring for a few sheep that have gone lame. He's walking through, bang, there's suddenly there's this bush on fire." And then this voice comes to Moses and says, "Look, Moses, come over here." And yet, when Moses comes over, what does God say to him? "Oh, not that far. No, you've got to stop there." He said, "God, do you want me to come over or do you not? Do you want me to talk to you or not? What is it? What is it that you really want to do?" And there were a couple of occasions that you have to see in the Bible where this happens. There was an occasion when Moses went up Mount Sinai, and then there was this moment where Moses was allowed up the mountain. But then what happened to anybody else that touched the foot of the mountain? They would die. And you think, "God, what are you just like confused? You want people to be close to you, But at the same time, you say, no, that's far enough. And I just need to ask you, how often is that your experience? How often do you come and experience like the goodness of God? So we had a leaders meeting on Tuesday night with the Well and Trinity. We went in there and we said, right, oh, that's the heater, by the way. That wasn't the presence of God coming into that leaders meeting, but we will be warm. Suddenly, we in this leaders meeting, and we started to bring back, there was this, the sense of God's presence in the room. Now, I don't know how often you experience the presence of God, the closeness of God, maybe in a time of worship, or maybe you go to a conference, or maybe you're sitting in the quietness of your room reading your Bible, and you feel God is close. But at the same time, why is it when I'm driving, I don't feel the presence of God so much? Or why is it sometimes when I'm shopping, I don't feel the presence? Why is it sometimes I can feel God so close to me and so like trying to speak into my life and showing me his love and his affection, and yet sometimes it feels that God is just like a million miles away? I have to let you know that for us as a church, to experience the presence of God is really important. It's really important. So we always want to have our worship so that we experience the presence of God. In fact, when we started writing out what we were doing as a church, the thing that we put right at the very top is this: we want to enjoy the presence of God. And that is what we want to go for. We want to be with him. And I think that one of the key things that really stops people loving being a Christian and loving Jesus is they don't know actually how much God really loves you. And so when we've got this Father's Heart Conference coming up, the whole point of that Father's Heart Conference is because you just need to know how God loves you. He delights in you. He cares for you. He's got plans for your life. He has an incredible love for you. The most famous verse in the Bible is what? For God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. I just need to let you know, though, if that is all you hear, you're going to be in trouble. If all you ever hear is that God is your loving Heavenly Father, that God is your protector, that God is your provider, if all you hear is just about what God does for you, you're going to be in trouble. Steve, can you bring the next picture up? Has anyone seen these pictures? Yeah? Do you know what it is? Anybody has a guess? Guess what it is? Go on. Yeah? It's the Oval Office. Yeah. And the guy sitting at the desk is JFK, John F. Kennedy. So what do you notice about the one on the left-hand side? There's this little boy in there. What is that? It's the Oval Office, this little boy, and it's JFK's son called John. Now what happened is, and then you see it on the right-hand side, that is John when he was slightly younger. But John, JFK's son, would go into the Oval Office at all times. And there would be important dignitaries in there, as these guys in here on the right-hand side. There would be world leaders that would be in their office. There would be key strategic meetings that would shape the whole world. And yet, this little boy, John, would wander in because he may well have been the president of the United States, but actually he was his dad. He was welcomed into his presence. And that desk, I love the picture of him hiding in the desk. And you can't see it, but there's a little door on the front of the desk. And so it must have been great for a kid. You could just go in and hide in the desk. To that little boy, the man at the desk was just his dad and he went in. But actually, the truth of it is, the man sitting at the desk could have killed millions of people by pressing a nuclear button. Now, the thing is, that little boy probably didn't realize the power and the awesomeness that was invested in his dad.
He just saw, oh no, this is my dad, I love him. If I want to go and talk to him, I can go and talk. It doesn't matter who's there, what Russian sort of like president, I'm just going to go and talk to my dad. But the truth of it is, that man was the most powerful man in the world. He could have pressed a nuclear button. And you know, that is exactly the same as our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do you know, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. But occasionally, He has to remind you who He is. God will never forget you. He will never forget your name. He will never forget the details of your life. But occasionally, He will say to you, but I need you to know, I am the Lord of all the universe. And God says, I will provide for you. I will protect you. I will give you everything that you need. But also, we just need to understand that He will sometimes demonstrate His sovereign will. There are three things about this story of Moses that we read in here. Just very quickly, Moses saw this burning bush. Oh, thank goodness. Moses saw this burning bush. He stopped. He ignored all the sheep. Just for a little bit, he ignored all the sheep. When Moses stopped and ignored all the sheep, God spoke. And then when God spoke, He said this, come over here because I want to be in relationship with you. And I felt this, what God was saying to Moses was this, look, Moses, please come over here. Come over here. Please just stop just ignore the sheep that are just going off around the world. Ignore the wolves and the bears and everything else in the desert. Just for a moment, just stop and come over here because I want to talk to you. And come into my presence because I love you. Come over here. But when you come over here, do not forget who I am. Don't forget. All that I am. And He said to Moses, look, Moses, you just got to take your shoes off because where you're standing is holy ground. And so God is saying to him, and Moses, come over, please. I want to talk with you, but please don't forget who I am. We try not to use theological terms too much in the church that don't have any meaning because all sorts of theological terms that you think, well, I don't know. Does it help us? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I want to give you two theological terms this morning that were bought in the 19th century, people started using in the 19th century, and there are these two words. Has anyone heard the word transcendence and immanence? A few people, okay. I just want to explain them to you because they really helpfully get this thing. So the first one is this, immanence. Immanence is God's proximity. You know, that's what we really love, don't we, when we come to worship? We really want to know God here. We want to know the Holy Spirit living in our lives, like changing us. We want to know God is right here, right now, living in our world. His proximity, His experience closeness. And then there's this other word that means this, transcendence. And transcendence means the opposite. God is far away. He is distant from us. He's distinct. He's separate. He is like above us. And what we need to understand is there's this paradox that we need to understand God is both immanent and transcendent. He fills me when I get up in the morning and I make my coffee and I sit in my chair and I read my Bible and I pray, God, come and fill me, please, that help me today to be a good witness. He fills me. He makes me a different person. And he thinks, no, that is the moment where God is immanent. But God is also transcendent. He is way, way above where I am. He is extraordinary. And you know what? There are sometimes we can focus on one or the other. And if you focus on one and not the other, you're in a little bit of a dangerous moment. If you focus just on God being immanent, you can have this place where everything in the end becomes about you. And it all becomes about me. The story of the world is God wants to restore a relationship with you. So if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you just need to know that God's great plan for you is to come back into that place of being loved by Him. That is His great plan for you. And it says that God is a loving Father. It describes Him as a caring mother, as a faithful friend. All of these things, God is very close to you. But you know, sometimes what you can do is you can over-sentimentalize
over-sentimentalize your relationship with God, and you can over-romanticize your relationship with God. I was having coffee with Brandon on this week, and we were just talking about that, you know, sometimes you can have these worship songs where it sounds like Jesus is your girlfriend. And you're thinking, oh, I just love him. He gives me a big kiss. And you know what the thing is? That there is truth in that. But if we just focus on God's being imminent, God being here. And actually, sometimes I think that's, I don't know if it's a problem for women, but sometimes guys, we have a problem with that. You know, it's not always easy to sort of like, I don't want to romanticize my love of Jesus. But at the same time, I know that God is very close to us. The other thing is that we can get to this place where if God is always here, he's just like, he's our supplier. We just come to God when we need something. We just think, oh God, he's like your cheerleader or your mascot or your supplier. Something that's, I need a parking space. Right, just pray for that. And that we reduce the relationship with the Son of God to that sort of thing. Think, no, that it's not just about that. And you know, sometimes when people say this question, well, where is God? It doesn't become a genuine question. It becomes the sort of question that I would say when my kids have turned up late when they said that they would be there. Well, where is God? He should be here by now. You know what I mean? It's like this demanding sense. Well, come on, God, you need to do it. It's about you. You're supposed to be here for me. You're supposed to serve me. You're supposed to give me everything. Well, come on, I need you here right now. And no, that is not the point. But that's what happens when we can over-emphasize this sense of the imminence of God. The other things that you can do is that you can begin to, if God is everywhere, and God is in everything, and he's right here with us, you can begin to confuse what God created with the one who created it. And you see, like, I really like trees. I just like the whole wood thing. I like chopping them up. But I love looking at them. I think the trees are fantastic. I love them. But then you think, but sometimes, and you'll see it happening in culture more and more, they begin to confuse like the creation with the creator. And then, oh God, that is so beautiful. And instead of that pointing to God, they think, well, God must be in that tree. Therefore, we can't cut that tree down because we'd be... It's just bonkers, isn't it? But if you overemphasize that God is right here with us, you can begin to get to that point. And then the other thing that you can do is that if God is in everything and he knows everything and it's everything, well, everything then becomes his will and everything that goes wrong is his fault. And you end up with some sort of like fatalism. So that is what, if you overemphasize God is just here with us for me, that's where you can get to. But if you overemphasize the other side of it, if you overemphasize God being transcendent, well, you can get into a wall. You can get a God who is really distant and is cold and is not really engaged in our lives whatsoever. He's unwilling to intervene. Or you can get to this place where if God is like really distant over there and he's not really engaged with me, well, What I will do is I'll compartmentalize my life. I'll have my work life. I'll have my financial life. I'll have my sex life. I'll have my church life. I'll have this. But it's never really interchanged because we compartmentalized it because God is so different. He's over there. And that's not helpful either. God just becomes our problem solver. Do you know, I read a report there's a whole group, an age of teenagers that grow up with just thinking God will provide for them. God will just, that they don't really want to come to God other than when they need something or want something. And do you know what their fault is? Their fault is their parents who haven't demonstrated that faith is in every area of life. And all they're doing is that they are copying something that their parents have modeled of just saying, no, we have this area of life and this area of life and this area of life. And so what do children do? Well, obviously that's what they learn. But we have something different, don't we? No, God is in every area of our lives. And then the last thing of overemphasizing the transcendence is that you end up with a lack of intimacy with God. Instead of singing all the Jesus is my girlfriend songs, your faith becomes like a cold and distant handshake.
Nice to see you, God. Yep, jolly good. Carry on.
That's not what we want either, is it? And so there's this paradox. God is near, and yet when God draws us near, sometimes he will say to us, just remember who I am. Remember who I am. I want to come to God with this humility, but in that humility, I want to see the awe-inspiring magnificence of who God is. I want to see God afresh. And do you know what? Jesus nailed that whole idea of a distant, cold God, didn't he? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come to certain people at certain times, at certain points. But now God says, no, I'm pouring my Spirit out on all people. On all, we can come, we can enjoy the presence of God now. But when we enjoy the presence of God now, we must still remember who God is. I found this quote, if you go on to the next one, from A.W. Tozer, who has written some amazing books. And if you ever find something by A.W. Tozer, he's written some really short books that are really, really good. The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer, he wrote on a train journey. He started it, and then when he got to a place, he'd finished this book that has been reprinted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And this is what he wrote. When we come into this sweet relationship, and he's talking about knowing God's closeness, but not forgetting who he is. When we come into this sweet relationship, we are beginning to learn astonished reverence, breathless adoration, awesome fascination, and a lofty admiration of the attributes of God and something of the breathless silence we know when God is near. I love it. I want to know God is near. Tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I want to know God is so close to me, but I don't want it to be just about me. I want it to be about him. I don't know if you... I heard the other day that we're not allowed to have fireplaces that burn wood in London. Yes, well, I don't believe it's true because we really love our fireplace and we love having a fire that we burn and it's great. I don't know if it's true. I'm not even going to inquire about whether that's true or not. But the reality is this, that God spoke to Moses through a fire when this fire was burning. And anybody who's had a campfire, anybody who loves a bonfire, anybody who's got a fire in home knows this, okay? Fire, having a fire, is one of the most intriguing things that you can have. It's like watching television sometimes, watching a fire. You can just sit there and you watch this fire. And you know, it's like intriguing. You see the flame and it brings warmth and it's delightful. And you see, how does this thing work? It's just absolutely amazing. And it draws you in. It draws you in. But guess what? Don't get too close. Because it'll burn your house down. There is something about fire which is absolutely extraordinary. But there's something, and I believe that that was why I think God spoke to Moses in the fire. Because he said, look, I want you so close to me. But don't forget who I am. Don't forget what this fire can do. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside, he called him out of the bush and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground. I believe that if we understand this paradox of who God is, we will understand far greater depths of God's plan for us. And I think what I want to do is, as we finish, is I would like in a minute just to pray for people. We'll ask the band to come up in a minute and we will sing something. And I wonder if we could sing the Lion of Judah. And because that's another, it talks about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but also this Lion of roaring over us. But I believe that if we understand this paradox, I believe that we will have greater faith to see God working in our situations. Greater faith for God to break through and to do something new in our lives. And I believe the other thing is this, that if we understand this, the closeness of God, we will know actually that God wants to do things in our lives, to shape us, but we will be able to trust his sovereign power at work. Can I ask you just to stand? We're just going to pray, to draw things to a conclusion for this morning. But I want to just ask you a question, and I want to, in the end, to raise your hand if you want to respond to this. But firstly, that you know God is good and that he loves you. But if you have lost faith that God has the power to do extraordinary things in your life, I want you in a minute to raise your hand. That you know he loves you, but you've lost faith that he is the all-consuming, powerful creator God. That you have just taken your eyes off the fact that, oh no, this is the God that I worship. This is the God who is utterly holy. And if you do feel like that, can I just ask you to raise your hand right now, and all I'm going to do is going to pray for you that you would see again the fullness of God's glory in your life. So just raise your hand if that's you right now. Father, I just want to pray for these dear people whose hands are raised right now. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and fill them afresh. And as you fill them afresh, their eyes would be opened again to who you really are, to this magnificent, awesome creator God who literally threw stars out into space and has created multiple universes and galaxies. And we say, oh God, now would you remind us of your awesome power? I pray, oh God, that the roar of the Lion of Judah would be over you now, that you would catch against the glimpse of what God can do. And Holy Spirit, we say, come on, Lord. Fill them afresh, I pray. Lord, I pray they would see your magnificence and your glory and your awesome splendor, oh God. Father, we thank you so much. Father. And if you now understand who God is, but you have lost the imminence of God, that you have not walked with God every day, and you have not known him filling your life. And as you walk to the shops, or as you walk to your car, or as you visit friends, or as you go to work, or as you deal with situations, you have just lost that sense that God is close and God is nearby. And he's your healer and your provider. And he is your loving Heavenly Father. Just raise your hand right now, can you? Father, I want to pray for these, Lord, dear people. And I ask, Lord, that for all of us as your church, we would not be afraid to know something of your immanence and your transcendence, your closeness, and yet also never, ever, ever forget who you truly are, O God. You are our provider, but God, you are so, so much more than that. You are the creator of all things. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.